Well, how lovely to be together this morning on our fourth Sunday of Advent. Thank you, Helen, for leading this with me. I hope you can see the order of service. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. We gather as Advent draws to a close. Come, Jesus, be with us. In the stillness of the night, come, Jesus, be with us. In the movement of the day, come, Jesus, be with us. In the rest and balm of sleep, come, Jesus, be with us. In the activity of our waking, come, Jesus, be with us. As Advent draws to a close and Christmas dawns, come, Jesus, be with us. Amen. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. In the darkness of our days, when light seems far away, bring us back, O God. Show us your mercy, and we will be saved. When our sins seem to surround us and drown out our good, bring us back, O God. Show us your mercy, and we will be saved. When we are overwhelmed and pained by what we have done, bring us back, O God. Show us your mercy, and we will be saved. Amen. The Almighty God brings us from the depths of our sorrow and shame, saves us, redeems us, renews and refreshes us. Go in peace, go in joy, go in love, go in light, knowing God has forgiven you and gifted you life. Amen. And now Helen's going to read our first reading to us.
Our first reading is taken from Isaiah 7, beginning at chapter 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey, when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid to waste." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our psalm this morning, a verse is taken from Psalm 80. Please join with me if you would like to. Hear us, Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubims, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Awaken your might, come and save us. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine on us that we may be saved. How long, Lord God Almighty, will your anger smoulder against the prayers of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. You have made us an object of derision to our neighbours, and our enemies mock us. Restore us, God Almighty. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the son of man you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Restore us, Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And Helen has our.
Our second reading is taken from Matthew 1, beginning at chapter 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name of Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
At this time of year, we hear and sing a great deal about Mary, and rightly so. She was, after all, the mother of Jesus, the only constant in his earthly life, from manger to ministry, from crucifixion to resurrection. But every third year, our lectionary turns its spotlight away from Mary and gives us the perspective of her would-be husband, a quiet, unassuming descendant of the house of David. So our entry point into the Nativity story on this fourth Sunday of Advent is not Mary or Elizabeth or John the fiery baptizer. It is Joseph, a quiet carpenter who upends his good life for a dream. If we are tempted to sideline Joseph as a minor character in the Christmas narrative, the Gospel of Matthew reminds us that, in fact, Joseph's role in Jesus' arrival is pivotal. It is Joseph's willingness to lean into the impossible, to embrace the scandalous, to abandon his notions of holiness in favour of God's messy plan of salvation that allows the miracle of Christmas to unfold. As Matthew makes clear, the Messiah must come from the house and lineage of David, and so it rests on Joseph to give his name and his legitimacy to Mary's child. If Joseph refuses, the fulfilment of prophecy comes to a halt. Joseph the carpenter is not the religious elite nor the overly educated, but he is a descendant of David. The Gospel describes Joseph as a righteous man, which is to say, a man devoted to God and concerned with clean, ethical living. Although Matthew doesn't elaborate, I think we can safely assume that Mary's betrothed is not a guy who likes to make waves or call attention to himself or venture too close to controversy. Like most of us, he wants an orderly life. He's honest and hard-working. He follows the rules. He practices justice and fairness. And all he asks in exchange is a normal, uncomplicated life. Is that too much to ask? Oh dear, poor Joseph. Little does he know. Does he remind you of anyone? As Matthew tells the story, the God-fearing carpenter wakes up one morning to find his world shattered. There were three steps in a Jewish marriage: the engagement, which was often arranged by the parents when the boy or girl were children; the betrothal, which was a formal confirmation of the marriage to be, usually a year before the couple were married; and then the wedding itself, which lasted a whole week. During the betrothal, the couple were legally bound, but they were not in an intimate relationship. So no wonder Joseph is in a terrible, terrible quandary when he finds out his fiancée is pregnant. He knows for sure he is not the father. And then suddenly he has got no good options to choose from. If he calls attention to Mary's out-of-wedlock pregnancy, she might be stoned to death, as Levitical law demands. If he divorces Mary quietly, she'll be reduced to begging or prostitution to support herself and the child. If, on the other hand, he marries her, her son will be Joseph's heir instead of his own biological child. Moreover, Joseph will be tainted forever by the scandal of Mary's illicit pregnancy and by her ridiculous, well, blasphemous claim that the baby's dad is somehow God. Matthew doesn't go into much detail about Joseph's anguish. However, in my reading this week, I understand that the pro-evangelium of James, which is an extra-canonical te text from the 2nd century BAD, we get a fuller, harsher figure of the carpenter's pain. When Joseph sees Mary's swollen belly, he throws himself on the ground, strikes his own face, and cries bitterly. He wonders long and hard how to respond and asks Mary why she has betrayed both him and God so cruelly. Well, this text from James isn't in our canon of scripture, but it's not hard to imagine a similar scene playing out between Joseph and Mary in real life. The fact is, Joseph didn't believe Mary's story until Gabriel told him. Well, why would he? Why would anyone? We make a grave mistake, I think, when we sanitize Joseph's consent. We distort his humanity when we assume that his acceptance of God's plan came easily, when we hold ourselves at arm's length from his humiliation and his doubt. In fact, what Joseph's pain shows me is that God's favour is not the shiny, inoffensive thing that I'd like to believe it is. It's not the God of the New Testament who promises wealth, health, comfort, and ease to his chosen ones. Actually, that's just me getting it wrong with quite a lot of wishful thinking included in there. In choosing Joseph to be Jesus' earthly father, God led a righteous man with an impeccable reputation straight into doubt, shame, scandal, and controversy. God's call required Joseph to reevaluate everything he thought he knew about fairness, justice, goodness, and purity. It required Joseph to become the talk of the town, and not in a good way. It required him to embrace a mess he had not created, to love a woman whose story he didn't understand, to protect a baby he didn't father, to accept an heir who was not his son. In other words, God's messy plan of salvation required Joseph, a quiet, cautious, status quo kind of guy, to choose precisely what he feared and dreaded most: the fraught, the complicated, the suspicious, and the inexplicable. So much for a well-ordered life. But Joseph's story gives me hope. I find it difficult to relate to a person who leaps headlong into obedience. I can relate to a person who struggles, to a person whose yes is cautious, uncertain, and scared. I'm grateful that Joseph's choice was a hard one. I'm glad he struggled, because I struggle too. Interestingly, in the verses that immediately precede our gospel reading, Matthew gives us a genealogy, a family tree of Jesus' ancestors. And Matthew mentions people in particular. Here are some of them: Abraham, the patriarch who abandoned his son Ishmael and twice endangered his wife's safety in order to save his own skin. Jacob, the trickster and the liar who humiliated his older brother and stole his birthright. David, who slept with another man's wife and ordered that man's murder to protect his own reputation. Tamar, who pretended to be a sex worker, and Rahab, who was one. And these are just a few. What a family tree. Sounds a bit like mine, and I expect yours too. And did you notice anything? Anything like the messiness, the complication, the scandal, the sin? Isn't it interesting that God, who could have chosen any family tree for his son, chose a long line of brokenness, imperfection, dishonor, and scandal? I think it's the perfect backdrop. It's a perfect backdrop for God's beautiful work of restoration, healing, hope, and second chances. There is so much to ponder in the Nativity story. There's so much to consider about the surprising ways of God, who brings salvation into the world via a young woman whose story about her own sex life was not believed, via a well-meaning man who had to let go of righteousness in order to follow God, via a cultural system obsessed with male honour and female purity, via the flimsiness of dreams, via a helpless, illegitimate baby. No wonder that the angel Gabriel's first words to Joseph were, "Do not be afraid." If we want to enter into God's messy story, then perhaps these are the first words we need to hear too. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid when God's work in your life looks alarmingly different than you thought it would. Do not be afraid when God upends your cherished assumptions about righteousness. Do not be afraid when God asks you to stand alongside the scandalous, the defiled, the suspected, and the shamed. Do not be afraid. When God asks you to love something or someone more than your own spotless reputation, do not be afraid of the precarious, the fragile, the vulnerable, the impossible. Do not be afraid of the mess. The mess is the place where God was born. Amen. And now Helen is going to lead us in our prayers.
And our refrain for this morning is, bring hope, peace, courage and comfort to all. God of unity and diversity, at this time of year when we think especially of those close to us, we pray for those who are a long way away from their country of birth and from those they love. Joining with the UN on International Migrants Day, we remember those denied dignity and safety and those who are exploited and abused. We pray for fairer, clearer and more inclusive migration systems. Come, Lord Jesus, be with those who make journeys and those who make policies. Bring hope, peace, courage and comfort to all. We pray for our divided world, that the music of tolerance would ring out more loudly than the bullets of hatred. We pray especially for the victims of the Bondi Beach shooting, for the injured, the grieving, and for the whole community impacted so terribly. We pray for all those who are victims of violence, and especially young people who have lost their lives to gun and knife crimes. We pray for juveniles convicted of violent crimes, for mentors to guide them, and for role models to inspire them. Come, Lord Jesus, be with those who are traumatized and those who are afraid. Bring hope, peace, courage and comfort to all. We pray for our NHS, for all those struggling to care for the volume of patients entrusted to them, for those hospitalised with flu and life-threatening illnesses, and for all those afraid that their treatment will be impacted or their appointments cancelled by the resident doctor's strike. We pray for those who will be working over Christmas and those on call. Come, Lord Jesus, be with those who are overwhelmed by responsibilities and those who are vulnerable. Bring hope, peace, courage and comfort to all. We pray for King Charles and all those whose journey through illness is very public, and for those who face their journey alone. We pray especially for our very dear Steph, Jacques, Mary, Derek, Anne, Brenda, John, Tom, Margaret T, Elizabeth, Joy, David, Tony, Julie, Herbert, Ali, Brian, Alison, and Margaret R. and for all of those who will be missing for the first time from our Christmas gatherings this year. We hold in our hearts Rackenford School, Tiverton High School, Tiverton Hospital, and especially the family and friends of those who have recently died. Barry Ely and Jill Childs. We pray for those who know this will be their last Christmas, those who fear that it might be, and those who are celebrating their first Christmas with someone they love. Come, Lord Jesus, be with those who are joyful and those who are sad. Bring hope, peace, courage and comfort to all. And on this shortest day of the year, we pray for one another and for the light of Christ to shine brightly in our hearts. We pray for our families, our friends and our communities. May these last days before Christmas bring opportunities to heal broken relationships. Reflect on our journey of faith amidst the tyranny of undone tasks. And give and receive God's precious gift of love. In Jesus' name, Amen. And the Collect for the fourth Sunday of Advent. Eternal God, as Mary waited for the birth of your Son, so we wait for his coming in glory. Bring us through the birth pangs of this present age to see with her our great salvation. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. We praise you, Almighty God, for walking with us through Advent. We praise and thank you that you have guided us and shown us the way, that you have revealed yourself in the expected and the unexpected, that you have been balm to our pain and companion in our joy, that we have seen prophecies fulfilled, promises upheld, that we have glimpsed hope in the desperate times, that in death there is life, where there is loss, there is gain, that tears of sadness can be transformed to tears of joy. We praise you for the greatness of your transforming power, and as we wait for Christmas Day, we shout, Come, Jesus, be with us. Amen. And the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us and those whom we love and pray for, today and always. Amen. Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you, Helen. Thank you so much for helping me lead the service.
Thank you both.
Thank you, everyone, for your company this morning. Hopefully may see some of you on Christmas morning. And if I don't, then I hope you have a really happy, joyful, peaceful, but holy Christmas Day with your family or friends or by yourself, wherever you are. I hope you will know God's presence with you too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so
Have a good
much,
day.
Beth.
Thank you.
Thank you, Helen. What
Lots
a
to you,
wonderful way
Beth.
to start the
Bye-bye.
day. Bye. Take care.
Jackie,
God
let
bless.
us know about your dad, will
I
you?
will do. Yes, thank you. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you
Lots of love.
very
God
much,
bless.
Beth. God bless.
Bye.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Together
Bye.
again. Enjoy your time with Tim.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank
Love
you.
to Tim and family.
Yeah,
Bye.
absolutely.
Bye.
Bye.